So I'm going to just start by reading from Ephesians chapter 1. And what's it going to sit there, is it? Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3. And yes, I've got it up there if you can read it. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. That is, in Christ, he chose us before the world was made, so that we would be his holy people, people without blame before him. Because of his love, God has already decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. That was what he wanted and what pleased him. And it brings praise to God because of his wonderful grace. God gave that grace to us freely in Christ, the one he loves. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death, and so we have forgiveness of sins. How rich is God's grace, which he has given to us fully and freely. God, with full wisdom and understanding, let us know his secret purpose. This was what God wanted, and he planned to do it through Christ. His goal was to carry out his plan when the right time came, that all things in heaven and on earth would be joined together in Christ as the head. In Christ, we were chosen to be God's people, because from the very beginning, God had decided this in keeping with his plan. He is the one who makes everything agree with what he decides and wants. We were the first people who hoped in Christ, and we were chosen so that we would bring praise to God's glory. So it is with you. When you heard the true teaching, the good news about your salvation, you believed in Christ. And in Christ, God put his special mark of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit that he has promised. That Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we will receive what God promised for his people until God gives full freedom to those who are his to bring praise to God's glory." So over the last few weeks, we've been just talking about thin places, thin people, thin spaces, thin moments, and looking at different biblical characters who've had divine encounters with God. Some of those have included Moses, Jacob, Isaiah, Elijah, and Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's a Celtic saying that says, "Heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, but in thin places that distance is even shorter. Places are where heaven intersects with earth, and we are able to catch glimpses of the divine." And I just want to expand a little bit more on that saying, where we catch glimpses of the divine and the manifestation of God. God often meets people in the great outdoors. Now, mountains were really significant in the Bible. There's Mount Moriah and the testing of Abraham, Mount Sinai and Moses, Elijah on Mount Carmel. I think, Phil, you were talking about that. And then many say, and we've heard it over the weeks, that they really connect with God on the outdoors, when they're outside in different places. Now, I've been thinking about thin places, and I can only think of one particular thin place for me, and that's not somewhere I can really run to very easily. It's somewhere I can't retreat to because I need to get on a plane, so that's a bit tricky. In 2019, I had the opportunity to go to Canada. And I went to with a friend from my previous church, and she'd emigrated over to Calgary, and we decided to take 3 weeks to drive around the Rockies, and the three of us each made a bucket list of what we wanted to do so we could see that along the way. On my list was to see the sunrise over Lake Moraine, which is just below Lake Louise. So we saw Lake Louise in the evening, the previous evening, and we said, well, this is easy. The road's down to Lake Moraine in the morning. Great, we can do this. So we got up at 4 a.m. It was absolutely pitch black when we got to the car park. We had no idea which way to go, and there was no internet signal. So we felt our way round and found a gate. So we made our way up the hill, and we thought, well, let's just hope this is the right place. So it went from pitch black to this, and then it went to that. You can't see it that well, but a picture I took on my phone, and it was just incredible. It absolutely took our breath away when we saw it unfold. And that picture is actually in my living room at home. And when we saw it, it was just silence to start with. And then we just broke out into praise because it was just wonderful to see His majesty and all that creation. And I didn't want to move from that spot. We were frozen, but I didn't want to move. But that picture is at home now. And it was just such a blessing. 7 months later, we went into lockdown. And I often looked at the picture and thought, one day we will get out of this. We can't stay in thin places, but God longs for us to encounter Him. And throughout the Bible, we see His desire to connect with us and the incredible depth of love that He has for us. There's a famous saying from St. Augustine, and it says, "You have formed us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." God has made us for Himself, for His pleasure. He meant us to see Him, to live with Him, and draw our life from His approval and His smile. God has built us and designed us to be in relationship with Him. Just going back to that chapter in Ephesians, that was His plan. That perfect plan was broken in Genesis, and man fled from God's presence. The whole work of God is seen just right through His word, from Genesis right through to Revelation. And the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament through Jesus. God continues to work so that He can redeem and bring us back into a right and eternal relationship with Him. I was just reading Tozer's book, I think it's The Pursuit of God. And he says in there, a loving personality dominates the Bible. He's walking along the trees of the garden, breathing fragrance over every scene. Always a living person is present, speaking, pleading, loving, working, and manifesting himself wherever and whenever people have the receptivity necessary to receive that manifestation. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were able to connect to God through the tabernacle. And the ones that worked there were the priests from the tribe of Levi. Now, the tabernacle had three purposes. It was the place of forgiveness through sacrifices when they went through the outer court. It was a place of communion. And within the inner court was the golden candlestick, the bread, and the altar of incense. But within there was the Holy of Holies, and it housed the presence of God. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, where above the mercy seat dwelt God himself. The priest could only enter once a year to offer a sacrifice for his sins and the sins of the people. This was the pre-runner of the coming of God's Son Jesus, who came and lived a sinless life and died as the ultimate offering and sacrifice for our sins. He is the light of the world. I'm going back to that candlestick. He's the bread of life. And the altar of incense represents him as he continues in unceasing prayer for us. He went only once into the most holy place as our high priest, and he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice. And he brings that new agreement from God to us. He's put his own seal on us as his dearly beloved children. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, "We are the temple of God. And God said, I will live with them, walk with them, I will be their God, and they will be my people." There are times when we may experience the manifest presence of God, which is clearly a significant moment when heaven touches earth. God wants to communicate with us. He wants to live with us. He wants to walk with us. And these times of manifest presence are just different to all of us. For all of us, we're all individuals. We've all got different experiences. We're all on different journey in life. For me, the manifest presence of God, it's always felt with a weight of his presence and glory and awe and silence initially. And I just want to share just one of those significant moments in my life. And it's just about my mum. And my mum was, she showed her love through feeding people. And even the cat was very well fed, very rotund then, and quite a large cat. This is significant. I will fill you in why. But months before Mum died, we got into the conversation of what happens when we die. And she said, I was quite shocked because I thought she had some sort of faith. And she said, no, she said, when I die, I die. I shut my eyes, that is it. And she said, I'm sorry. She said, I don't believe what you believe. And, you know, that's it. And I was so shocked. I was like, oh, okay. Conversation closed. And there was no opportunity to open that. She always closed the conversation down. There was no opportunity to open that back up again. And so when she was just in the last days at home, and we were nursing her along with the team of nurses that were coming in, I just felt I'd lost that opportunity when she went on to medication and morphine. And on the last night, we were taking it in shifts. I had the second shift in the early hours of the morning. She'd had a really, really rough night. And I got up to go to the kitchen and came back, and her just breathing was quite relaxed and quiet. And so I just bent over and I thought, great, I can just get in a little bit more kip while she's quiet by the chair. So I bent over, gave her a kiss, and she opened her eyes. And I said, oh, hello. I said, can you hear me? And she said, yes. Oh, she didn't say yes. She nodded. And I just felt, I just said, Mum, we love you. But when you go, when you're ready, you know, we give you permission to go. I said, but I know what you've said to me. And I will be brokenhearted if I don't see you in heaven. I said, can I pray with you? And she nodded and said, yeah. And as soon as I finished that prayer, she gave a sigh and off she went. And I just felt in that moment that was God meeting earth. He took her home straight away. It was just such a powerful, just God's presence and the silence. But I knew I had to go and get Dad, but I couldn't move from the bed. But I saw out the corner of my eye the cat coming into the room. And I've never seen such a fat cat go so flat and creep back out of that room. That was God's presence. That has been a huge comfort to the family to be able to share that she went peacefully, and to myself, even 3 years later. So just wanted to share that that's just something that happened to me. So 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "Now it is God who makes us stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Through Jesus, we now have this seal. We have a promise. We're his children. And we can know the communion and fellowship of his spirit and the indwelling presence of God. And you might have heard omnipresent, which is a big fancy word, which means God is everywhere. And he is. But there are times when he manifests his presence. And it just goes back to what Tozer said. When people have the receptivity necessary to receive that manifestation, he wants to communicate with us. He wants to do life with us. And there's an increasing awareness of his presence as we journey. By God's word, everything is held together. God raised Jesus from the dead, and the Holy Spirit is resident in each one of us. He desires, his desire is to clothe himself with us. And the Holy Spirit is given as a down payment and seal that marks the ownership. Michael Thompson said, "The Holy Spirit longs to reveal Jesus. Longs to reveal what Jesus wants to do through surrendered people looking for the surrender of people's hearts. The surrender to him when the Holy Spirit works through us should increase our indebtedness to him. We need to surrender in loving obedience. His manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the light of his face. And it's not about us. It's about him. He wants to communicate with us. But God blesses us through it, which is amazing. Now, my most recent thin moment was on holiday, actually, at the end of July. And I went with my sister and we hired a motorhome. We'd never done before. We travelled around the top, the North Coast 500. I went prepared. I was a bit depressed to start with because I thought, oh, I've got to take coats and layers and fleeces and everything else. But we didn't need them. We just needed shorts and T-shirts, incredible weather, incredible scenery. And when we got up to the north in Durness, we got to a beach and parked right on the top there. Nice big arrow there, that's us. We parked right overlooking the beach. And fantastic view. But in the early hours, I got up and I looked out and I could see something red, like a red Smartie sitting on the sea. And I thought, ooh, what's that? So I went and got my glasses to have a good look. And it's actually the sun rising. And I just felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit to say, just stay up. And I just put the kettle on. And I was treated to half an hour of just pure magnificence and glory again through his creation and watching that sunrise. Again, his weighty presence just turned to prayer and praise in that moment. And I'll just go on the next slide. We were just at the top of this lock here. And You know, I've talked about mountaintops, I've talked about lovely places, sunrises. But what happens when we sat there? That's very tranquil, very, very nice. But I sat there with my sister and I said, that little bit of water has no idea what's coming round the corner. Because in that left corner, it was trickling towards this. Next slide there. A huge waterfall. And it went from that tranquility to massive roar of waterfall. What happens when our life falls apart? When the broken bits come, the heartbreak and the sorrow and the difficulties. Jesus says, come to me and drink. That drink becomes a river and it flows from the heart. And moments of encounter just bring personal transformation. He always wants to give us something in exchange. And in our brokenness and our heartbreak, God is still there. He doesn't run from us, but actually he runs to us. I'll try and keep it together, but I'm going to go over this because this is still quite raw. I actually became grandma in April 23, and all our hopes and dreams were just to see her develop and everything else. But 6 months down the line, they had just the awful diagnosis of a life-limiting genetic illness. And it was a case of making her comfortable, taking her home and enjoying her for however long they've got. And, as we held her in that time of diagnosis, we held her in the room and there were a lot of tears then. But did God come down with a magic wand? No. But he came and he was present with us and we felt that present and continue to do so, even in the broken bits. And he always just gives something back in exchange. He's building in us a sense of maturity so that we can manage the weight of his blessings. I've said it before, the spaces and thin places are not about us, but to glimpse Jesus and to allow him to work and accept all that he has and what is to come. So going back to the first chapter in Ephesians, it says in verse 7, so we know now the riches of his glory in the inheritance of the saints. In Ephesians 1:14, it says, having believed, you were marked by him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. God inherits us and we inherit God. In maturity, God's seeds will be planted and grow. But we need to be active and we need to put the word in. And just going back to that lock, in those tranquil moments, get the word in. Because when life takes a tumble, that's when we can stand and know God is with us. The Holy Spirit's primary function is to make us like Jesus. In his death, Jesus is now forever glorified. He is the model that the Holy Spirit is fashioning us into. There is a connection to Jesus being glorified and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The enemy wants to keep us unattached from our true identity that's wrapped up in that in the glorified Christ. As every discovery of him that we make in those encounters and when he manifests himself is ultimately a revelation of what he's doing in us. The Holy Spirit longs to be discovered. He longs to manifest himself, to be encountered and to engage with us on a day-to-day basis. God has given us every spiritual blessing. We are his children, we are holy, we've been set free, And we now have that mark on him as his children by his Holy Spirit. And that's available to each one of us. Should we just pray? And then I'm going to hand over to you, Phil. Father, I just thank you for your words. I thank you for your truth. That we are your children. That we can know you fully. We can know and have you, each one of us, in our lives. Whatever the circumstances, thank you that you desire and delight to manifest yourself in those places. Give us that receptivity and openness to you, Holy Spirit, to hear from you and to walk as you walk with us each day. I just ask that in your name. Amen.